John chapter 11, we're going to look at verses 1 through 44. The SS Central America was a 19th century steamship that sank in 1857. It sank because of a hurricane in the East Coast. It was carrying 3 tons of gold. You know, they struck it rich in California, the gold rush. This ship was carrying a lot of that gold, and it sank. Because of that, because it was so valuable, it caused a financial crisis, a panic, in 1857, because it's carrying 3 tons of gold. But the gold was recovered in the 1980s. They found it, and how they got 3 tons of gold up was through, it's called a marine recovery tubes. They're like balloons. They strap it to this gold, and they send it up. And that buoyancy value has to be greater than the weight of the object for the gold to ascend in the water to the surface. Our sins are like lead weight that draws us down into death. Something of greater value must overcome the weight of our sins. Death looks at us, all of us, and death says, "You're mine." He looks at each and every one of us and says, "You're mine, and you're mine, and you're mine, and you're mine." But when death gets to Jesus, death goes, "You're not mine. I have no claim on you." Because Jesus has done nothing worth that causes his death. He is a spotless lamb. So death has no claim on Jesus. And why is that? Why can't death claim Jesus? I'm using a personification of death here. But why can't death claim Jesus? This is a question for you. What do you think?
Because he has no sin.
He has no sin. He has no sin, so death cannot claim him. And because of that, like we've been talking the past few weeks, Jesus has to lay his life down of his own accord. He willingly lays it down, and he has the power to raise it up again because death has no claim on him. But death pulls us down into the depths of the sea like you have a weighted vest on. But Jesus doesn't sink. He has to swim down to get us in the depth of the sea. Our sin nature makes us sink like a rock. Jesus' righteousness makes us rise up out of the dark, deep waters so that we can walk on the surface with him. So let's look at John 11, verses 1 through 44. This is the death of Lazarus. And we're going to cover three parts. We're going to cover it in three parts. And here are the takeaways that I want you to get. Number one, God has a plan for your pain. God has a plan for your pain is the first point I want you to walk away with. Second, Jesus meets you where you're at. He meets you where you're at. Where you're hurting. Third thing, Jesus has the power to overcome death. Jesus has the power to overcome death. If you walk away with that, now just saying that, I got to win you over with Scripture. But that's where I'm going. That's what I want you to get. So let me pray and we'll read through this and draw some applications. Lord, we thank you for this time. Again, we pray that you would bless it as we reflect on your power over death and what you did to save us from it. Pray you bless our time in Jesus' name. Amen. First thing, the death of Jesus, the death of Lazarus. And this is verse 1 of chapter 11. So read along with me. If you need a Bible, there's some Bibles over there. Make sure you're reading along and paying attention. Now, a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. Okay? Know who? There's like multiple Marys in Scripture. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "So Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "The sickness will not lead to death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, okay, get this. When he heard Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." But Rabbi, they said, "A short while ago, the Jews there were tried to stone you, and yet you are going back." Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they see by this world's light. It is when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light." After he had said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up." The disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake, I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Then Thomas, also known as Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." All right, so we'll stop there. Let's put the pieces together. Lazarus is sick and in pain, suffering up until his death. But Jesus says this will not end in death. What Lazarus is going through will not end in death. So question for us, why is he sick according to verse 4? Why is Lazarus sick according to verse 4?
So the Son of God may be glorified?
Yeah. The sickness is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Which is really interesting to me. So the first takeaway for us. So Lazarus is sick as a way to set up and show forth the glory of God. A takeaway for us is your pain and suffering may be the means to which someone comes to know the Lord. Lazarus is sick and he's died, and Jesus is going to raise him from the dead so that people will believe. Lazarus is sick and he dies so that God's Son will be revealed to all that's there, so that many would come to know that Jesus is the promised Messiah. Look at verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was for 2 more days. This does not sound like normal behavior to me. Question. Tiffany told me that I need to ask more questions. This is what we're doing. If you heard that a close friend was sick and you have the means to heal him, what do you do? What? Fast as you can. You're dropping what you're doing. If you could save their life, you're going to drop what you're doing. You're going to beeline to them and help them. But what does Jesus do? Verse 6. He stays 2 more days. Don't miss that. He says he loves them. He knows Lazarus is sick. So he stays 2 more days. So both Mary and Martha know that Jesus let the brother die. We're going to see that in a second. They both say the same thing. Martha in verse 21 and Mary in verse 32. They both say exactly, "Jesus, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died." They've seen the miracles. They know the power. If you would have been here, if you would have came when we told you, my brother would not be in the grave. He wouldn't have died. But Jesus' delay was not neglect, but a repositioning to see God's power. This is not neglect on Jesus' part. He is positioning everyone to see who he is and what he has come to do ultimately. A takeaway. What this passage shows us is that it's better to walk through the valley of the shadow of death and suffering and be able to see the glory of God in the face of Jesus than to live on easy street and never see it at all. It's better that you go through suffering and pain than ultimately pain and suffering and see who Jesus is and why you need him than for you to live on easy street all of your life and never see him at all. Does that make sense? So when you see this, this is like an application. When you pray, when facing pain or suffering or even death, pray that God will give you strength to testify to the glory of God's grace in Jesus. Because you may play a role like Lazarus. We're going to see Lazarus plays an assist role at his expense, briefly, so that many people will see the power of Jesus and be saved and believe. Now, I'm not signing up for that. No one would. But if you find yourself in a situation where you have a unique pain and you're going through a very difficult trial, the Lord is working through it for his good, for his glory, and for your good. We hear that a lot, but this is an example among many in Scripture where we see that. Okay, second thing. Jesus comforts the sisters of Lazarus, but does so in different ways. And here we're going to see like the pastoral ministry of Jesus, how he ministers pastorally. Last 2 weeks we talked about Jesus as a good shepherd, that hear his voice, and he leads them out. Let's see the pastoral work of Jesus. Verse 17, on his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed home. Verse 21, Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Again, what does this imply? What is she implying here? It's not really an implication, just basically saying it. What is she saying to Jesus? Get in.
That if you were there sooner, that Lazarus wouldn't have died?
Yes. Yeah. This is kind of on you, Jesus. Basically, he would not have died. Jesus says to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. So Jesus wants them to see that we're not just looking for a future date, but because of who he is, it is now. He is the resurrection. He doesn't point beyond himself to a future day. He is the resurrection now for them, for Lazarus. Verse 26, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Jesus asking Martha. Again, his delay puts everybody in a position to say, do you believe or not? Will you see the glory of God or not? Verse 27, yes, Lord, she replied. This is Martha again. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who has come into the world. After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here. She said, and he is asking for you. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been there, been with Mary in the house, comforting her, noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. Verse 32, when Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Same thing as Martha. Mary says, Lord, if you had not have been here, my brother would not have died. Verse 33. But look how Jesus answers Mary. It's different than how he answers Martha. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Verse 35, Jesus wept. So one thing I want to draw out is Jesus knows what we need as individuals. He knows what we need as individuals. He saves a multitude, but he knows our names. And he knows what we need as individuals. Jesus' response is crafted from his heart to her heart. His communication with us is crafted, not canned. A canned response is like a one-size-fits-all response. A one-size-fits-all kind of works most of the time. Jesus does not give a one-size-fits-all response because he knows what Mary needs individually. Not a canned answer, not a one-size-fits-all answer, but it's crafted to their level of understanding and the level of which she's hurting. So again, Martha's statement. Martha needs a Bible study. "I am the resurrection and the life," he tells Martha. She needs to understand and be reminded of who Jesus is. Verse 25, "I am the resurrection and the life." That's how he responds to Martha. How he responds to Mary is she needs him to sit with her and be in the moment, in her emotions, and weep with her. Mary needs someone to sit with her, hold space, and cry with her. Verse 32, "Lord, if you had been here," this is Mary, "my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit, and Jesus wept. She wasn't quite ready for a Bible study. I'm talking about Mary here. She's not ready for a Bible study or any words, but she needed someone to be with her and sit. And Jesus wept with those who weep. Jesus gives Mary space and time for her emotions, but Jesus pushes into Martha's suggestion, or if not accusation, of neglect. "If you would have been here, my brother would not have died." But this is not neglect on Jesus' part. There's a reason for letting death overcome and take Lazarus. Verse 14, "So then he told them plainly, 'Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad.'" This is what Jesus says, "that I was not there, so that you would believe." Both Martha and Mary don't understand the greater good in Jesus' suffering and death. Some takeaways for us. Jesus knows our names, our level of understanding, our levels of pain, and he crafts a response accordingly. Again, his word is living and active, and God's Spirit uses God's word. Like, in other words, when you're hurting and you're reading scripture, some passages connect more than others based off where you're at. You're reading in the stage of life, chapter of life. You open up God's word, and you're just like, "Have I never read this before? This is amazing. This sheds a lot of light." You have a dark night of the soul. You're reading the Psalms, and the Psalms give you the words of what your heart is feeling like. In the past weeks, we learned that Jesus knows us by name. We also learn from this passage that he knows how to minister to us. He is a personal Savior that provides personal answers, not a one-size-fits-all answer. His response are crafted to our level of understanding. And we've seen a lot of examples. Woman at the well, a lot of examples. And the level at which you're hurting. Verse 36. I'm about to knock that over. "Then the Jews said, 'See how he loved him.' But some of them said, 'Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind,'" so they're thinking about all the things that Jesus did, "'have kept this man from dying?' The answer is obviously yes. But again, why did Jesus delay? Review question. Why did Jesus delay? Somebody other than Josiah. So they'll believe. So they would see the glory of God, and so that they would believe. How does this, if you see this, so again, verse 4, so the sickness will not end to death. It is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. How does this reason change the way you view suffering and pain? Seeing this passage, understanding what God will allow for you to go through, how does that change how you view suffering and pain? What do y'all think? Logan. Logan's like, we have joy over sorrow? Absolutely. Joy in our sorrow. Why do we have joy in our sorrow?
Because it's being used for our good and our forming.
I love that. Being used for our good and our formings. Good meaning we are growing in our faith in Jesus. We're learning to trust Him, and it's forming a deep, rich faith that we can handle anything and go through it. I think that's good. Thank you, Logan. Takeaway for us in this section: some truth about God's glory can only be seen through pain and suffering. There are truths about God's glory that can only be seen through going through the lows of life. Like the lows of living in a fallen world give us the best view of the glories of God's marvelous grace. The lows of living in a fallen world, having to deal with all the pain and suffering we go through, gives us the best view of the height of God's glory in His grace. Someone said this: we live in the best possible world to know every part of God's love. Like He will plan for there to be a fall, for you to go through in this life, you will have trouble, take heart of overcome the world. For us to have this world so that we go through it and come out from it, having a greater understanding of who Jesus is and what He came to do in His love for us versus Easy Street. Sign me up for Easy Street. I don't want to go through pain and difficulty. I just want to I just want to coast. We floated the Locust Fort yesterday and the water was up. We just floated down. I barely had to paddle. It's easy. It's like a lazy river. Sign me up for lazy river. But the Lord says it doesn't work like that. In fact, brings difficult things in. God sent Jesus to save sinners, not sinless saints. And the best way to see our need for Jesus is to feel it, to feel the sting, or use your imagination of what that will be like. Or we've like Martha, she knows where her brother is in the decomposition process and the painful experience that is. But the best view of the stars is in the valley. So let's see what glory He is going to show. Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead to show the glory of God. Verse 38, Jesus once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," He said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been dead for 4 days." She sounds very practical. She has experienced this before, and she knows where her brother is at in the decomposition process. Verse 40, then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So he just had a conversation with Martha. Do you believe? She's like, yes, I believe. And they come to the tomb, and she's like, this is painful. We're revisiting what I experienced 4 days ago. Lord, it's gonna be gross. It's gonna be painful. And Jesus said, did not tell you if you believe you'll see the glory of God. So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing there, that they may believe you sent me. Again, this whole thing is set up so they'll see who Jesus is and believe in him. Jesus delays so that Lazarus would not get better and will die. It is for the glory of God. And again, pop quiz. What does verse 42 tell us is the second reason? I've been saying it a lot, but I want to make sure you get it. It's for the glory of God. What is the second reason?
That they believe.
This series, Come and See, is that you come in and you see, and so that you would believe, not walk away the same way you came. You can't have true faith unless you see who Jesus is and what he came to do. So that the people stand there like Martha and Mary and the Jews who are comforting them, and us 2,000 years later, that we would see this and we would believe. This whole setup. Verse 43, when he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave cloths and let him go. Jesus raised Lazarus from the grave. Again, foreshadowing what's going to happen 3 months down the road when Jesus faced the crucifixion and his own resurrection. What glory did we see? What is the glory that is shown here? What's the glory? Jonas, what is the glory that we see here?
Lazarus
being raised. Another way to say that is Jesus has the power over death. So they would believe. And also foreshadowing what's going to take place. In closing, what we learned. God has a plan for your pain. God has a plan for your pain. If you are playing the Lazarus role and you're going through difficulty or the Job role, God has a plan for it. It's not some random thing. So trust God in the midst through it. He wants you to read this passage and he wants you to think, I can trust that he has a plan for it. It's not a random thing I have to just kind of deal with, but God is building out your soul because of it if you are trusting in him. Martha, do you believe? And she should. Second thing, Jesus meets you where you're at. He responds to Martha and Mary differently based on where they're at in their walk with him. Martha needed a Bible study to learn some theological truth that Jesus is the resurrection and life. Mary needed a moment for somebody to sit with her in her weeping before she got that Bible study. Does that make sense? We're seeing not just some canned response from a robot, but somebody who is very personable and pastoral. Third thing, Jesus has the power to overcome death. Death can't claim him. Death cannot point and say, you're mine, Jesus. Jesus lays his life down of his own accord. For God's glory, he will delay, he will remove, he will resist you. He will organize your life so that you will face trouble. You may face pain or sorrow, and the pain and sorrow will not be generic. A lot of it will be like very personal to you. And that's really difficult to hear. But this passage shows us that our pain that we face will help us see the glory of God. Pain and sorrow puts you in a position to see the glory of God so that you would believe in deeper ways. So the root of your faith would go down deeper, just like the valley is the best place to see the stars. So that's the main takeaway. If there's a takeaway I want you to get, is that God is working through your pain. You can trust Him in the midst of it. Jesus will use every means necessary so that you will know Him and enjoy Him forever. He uses pleasure. He's not against pleasure. He will bring pleasure to your life so that you will rejoice in the good gifts that He's given you. But He will show you more of Himself by taking away some of those gifts. In the way He prepares you to receive and take in His glory is through pain and suffering. Jesus doesn't leave you without truth. He doesn't leave you without truth. He tells Martha what she needs to hear when she needs to hear it. Jesus doesn't leave you without this emotional support. You need, like Mary, Jesus wept with her. Death cannot claim Jesus, but Jesus dove down into the depth and raised us up in His resurrection. Like, He is buoyant. Buoyant means you float. Our sins make us like a lead vest. We're going down naturally into death. But Jesus dove down. And that's why Ephesians 2:6 says, being seated in the heavenly places. Again, heavenly places, up, out of the depth of the sea, is a present spiritual reality for believers, not just a future hope. That's what Jesus came to do for us. Jesus said to us, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though he dies. Even though if he tarries, you will face death. But like I said last week, Jesus broke the teeth of death and created a door so that we can see him and pass through death, because our righteousness is in heaven. He rose, so we rise with him. When Jesus rose from the grave, our status before God rose too. Hear this good news and believe. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you again for this passage. We thank you for these truths, these hard truths sometimes, of seeing you delay, taking us off easy street into difficulty so that we would grow in our understanding of you. I pray that your Spirit would illuminate our minds and hearts when we're going through difficulty, when we're like Lazarus and get a bad report from a doctor, or like Mary and Martha having to watch someone we love suffer and die. Help us to see this passage as hopeful, knowing you have a plan to help us to see your glory, to build out our souls, to have more enjoy of you in eternity, and that we would believe, we would trust that you're good and your plan is good. Help us to wrestle with these things, and I pray that your Spirit would illuminate our minds and our hearts so that we would grow in the midst of whatever we face in this life. But because of the resurrection, we have the greatest hope no matter what we face. Help us to keep this eternal perspective in mind when we go through life. We thank you. I pray you bless our time as we sing this last song. In Jesus' name, amen.